Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we will take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt, and I'm joined as always.
And my name is James Petragallo. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Woohoo! And we have a treat for you. We are going to be looking into, I know you're so excited, James, 27 Dresses!
Oh my God. Wow. It's like 27 kicks to the throat is
what
it felt like.
Well, it was an hour and 51 minutes.
Whew. Wow.
It felt every bit of an hour and 51 minutes.
It was thoroughly punishing.
Yeah.
I'll call it thoroughly punishing.
Yeah.
In certain countries, people are sentenced to watch this kind of material.
I feel like they are.
Sentenced. Yeah.
No, it was absolutely horrible.
Horrible and terrible. You're right. Don't sell yourself short on that one.
I was very apt in saying that. So 27 Dresses, it was made in 2008, starring my girl, Katherine Heigl.
My goodness.
And James Marsden.
Explain this for us, because wow.
Oh, no, I totally will. But here's a fun fact for you, because I've decided that I kind of want to start out with a fun fact every episode about about something of... What inspires the movie or whatever. So you'll love this. The wardrobe department reported that the initial designs for all of the dresses looked too good on Katherine Heigl because of her figure, and that they were hard-pressed to design bridesmaids' dresses that would look bad on her.
Okay.
What a wonderful problem to have.
Interesting. Yeah,
I'm 5'1", and so like pretty much nothing looks good on me, like especially not dresses, so... What a nice problem to have, Katherine Heigl.
I cannot find a dress that looks good on me. I can't. Well, I can't find one, I'm telling you.
Nor cha-cha heels.
No.
Okay, so James, here we go. We're going to have the 90-second recap. So we start out with Katherine Heigl, a.k.a. Jane Nichols, which I thought that was hilarious that her name is Jane, plain Jane. Anyway, she has been a bridesmaid for 27 weddings, and one particular evening she is attending two weddings at the same time. She meets James Marsden, who appears to be fascinated by her behavior. Meanwhile, she seems to be disgusted that he's so cynical about weddings. She left her planner in a cab that she shared with him. And meanwhile, Jane's sister arrives from Europe and falls madly in love with Jane's boss. Now, here's the twist. Jane is also in love with her boss, and she has to plan her sister and her boss's wedding. She meets James Marsden again because her sister wants him to write a piece on their wedding. James Marsden wants to write a piece about Jane in the paper because of the planner that he found and that she has 27 bridesmaids' dresses. And Marsden and Heigl end up hooking up. She finds out about the story that Marsden writes and Heigl's everyone.
Hi, explain what Heigling is to someone.
I'm going to.
Many people get Heigled.
Well, and actually, you know what? I really feel like Heigling explains itself, and it'll only be explained through the movie. So Heigling someone is when Heigl gets an attitude and gives you the what for.
Exactly. It's basically her version of waterboarding, is what I would call it.
Yeah.
It's the
And
Heigl.
there's many Heigls to be had in this movie. I think that the biggest receivers of Heigls was me and you, I think.
The viewing public in general.
Yeah, we got Heigled.
We didn't pay for it. There's people that went and paid money and sat in a theater and
That's
watched
true.
That.
That's
they're
very
the true,
true.
Heigled.
Yeah,
people.
They're the ones that truly got Heigled.
They're the Heigelese.
Yeah.
Like nobody's business.
So at the beginning of the movie, it starts out with the infamous voiceover on the credits.
Of course.
You know, it's Katherine Heigl telling you about the woes of her childhood, you know, that she practically had to raise her little sister and whatever. What I thought was hilarious was she's talking about how Mozart created his first masterpiece by the age of 5. Mm-hmm. Picasso started painting at the age of 9. And Tiger Woods was swinging golf clubs by his second birthday. And then she's 8 and she finds her purpose in life.
Yes, to facilitate, to be a codependent weirdo at weddings, apparently.
That's what I was wondering.
Like, I don't understand her deal. And I don't understand, I have to ask you right away about this wedding obsession that...
Oh, I have no idea. I'm not a good person to talk
but
to.
But you know women, and you've talked to them, and you've spoken with them, and you were a bridesmaid at a wedding just a couple, a year and a half ago, if I recall.
Yes.
I recall seeing that.
That's the last wedding that I will be in, everyone. So, Melanie, I'm sorry. I love you, and your wedding was beautiful, but everyone else, not being in your wedding.
I have made it this far in my life. I am proud of this, without ever being asked to participate in a wedding. I see that as a real testament to my policy of, you know...
I guess.
Keeping your distance. I love that so much.
Yeah, but because my question was, is her purpose in life to attend weddings? Because what happens is she's a little kid and
she's just obsessed with them. It
she
doesn't
walks
matter.
In and like this, the bride that, you know, when she's like a little kid, the bride, it's her cousin or whatever.
Who knows?
She's like, ah, shit, my wedding dress ripped. And so she fixes it with her little sister's like ribbon in her hair. But it's like, so she's a fashion designer.
I don't know.
Anyway.
And does it start that young? Are there women who, at 8 years old, were obsessed with weddings and being married?
I guess so.
Who?
I guess.
I don't want... Those are scary people.
I don't know.
In my opinion.
I never... Here's the deal. When I was a little girl, I never romanticized about a wedding or anything like that. I always wanted to be a business lady. So I would, like, pretend to answer the phone and just say, just sign the papers and then hang up. Well, so I don't really know what that is.
Either way, the opening scene is basically there to drive off any men that may be in a vicinity.
Well,
of
obviously,
it's like taking a torch to a pack of wolves. There's that's any man that's sitting around like, holy shit, this is not for me. There's like piano music, and it looks very soft. It looks like a Hallmark movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it does.
It's really weird, man. I wanted to get up and run. Every instinct in my body said, get out of here now. And I said, no, I have to persevere.
No.
We have to do this.
So I'm not sure. I thought that I made this connection. Heigl is an assistant in real life. Okay, right, to that guy. But she's also...
In real life? Are we talking movie real life?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So Katherine Heigl's character is an assistant in real life.
Mm.
So Jane is an assistant in real life.
Yes.
We find out.
Okay.
But what I thought was funny is that she's also an assistant to her dad because her mom died. And we see that he needs help because he clearly can't put up her little sister's hair or take her to the bathroom. So she's like, you know,
he owns a hardware store. How would he know how to do that?
Well, yeah.
You know, he's a very, like, a bumbling, like, dad character.
What I thought was funny is that I guess this movie is supposed to be empowering for women, but the whole time I was getting so mad because Heigl's such a pushover friend. In the beginning, she's getting fitted for the wedding dress for her fucking friend. I'd be like, fuck you, bitch, I know that you're busy today, but you wanted to get married, so get off and fucking... She's like, oh, I'm so happy we're the same size. What?
You're not the same. No one's the same exact size anyway, too. I know wedding dresses are very particular of how they fit you
right.
And shit like that.
I thought was really funny was that she ends up being like Jennifer Lopez in The Wedding Planner, except for she's not getting paid. She has to pay for all these.
I thought she was a wedding planner in the beginning of the movie.
That
That's the
made
thing.
More
not
sense.
When she was a child. When she's an adult, like the first few minutes, I thought she's a wedding planner. I'm like, oh, okay, she's got to go. She's got to hook all this wedding
she's
shit
just
up. I really
a
thought that's what,
friend.
That's what it was, but... No, but who knows that many people? Okay, I don't have 27 friends like that I would go attend, whose weddings I would attend, no less that I would be close enough.
But
that
she
they
wants
would,
to. She's hoping that they would come to her wedding and stand by her side.
That I would, yeah, but
she needs. Oh my God, do you think it's because her mom died? She needs
I don't
love.
Know.
But what I'm really curious about is how much money does she make as an assistant?
Unlimited. Every character in every movie in this, they all have unlimited money. No one ever goes, I'm not putting that on my credit card. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, it's unlimited. She's got a huge apartment in New York City with a closet that can accommodate 27 giant puppy dresses. Ridiculous. She's got way too much money.
But because I was wondering, because she, number one, she's attending two weddings that first night, but then she gives the cab driver $300 to, like, you know.
Take her
back and forth to the thing. And here's one thing. How did no one notice that, like, the tallest bridesmaid was missing at either of those weddings?
Another thing, too. Not only that, too. She's not being nice by attending both weddings. That's not the thing. She's actually, like, doing both brides a disservice by not being there for half the goddamn time. And not only that, but also the travel in between.
Yeah.
That's not a nice thing to do, to get to both. That's like, hey, You
exactly. Never,
if you weren't going to stay the whole time, don't even bother. And the cabbie, $300, you forgot to mention that she's changing in the back of the car. And she tells the cabbie every time he takes a peek in the mirror, I guess, to see some nude Heigl. It's $20 off.
Well,
so
yeah.
And he looks twice, and she says at one point, you're down to 260. But so at this point, she's just a prostitute. She's just a stripper,
well,
at least.
You don't want to spoil the merchandise.
But she's not saying, like, if you do that, I'm getting out of the car and I don't want to do it. She's discounting $20. So basically what she's saying, it's 20 bucks a gander. I'll take my shirt off and I'll let this stranger look at it, but it's going to cost you $20. Like, when did Heigl turn into that?
Well,
She's a wedding planner and a stripper.
I guess, yeah, because you don't want to look at the merchandise, you know, without paying for it.
Did you mention Kitty yet?
No, I have not mentioned Kitty yet.
Kitty's in the picture.
Yeah, I know Kitty is in the picture. Kitty from Arrested Development is in here. I have so many, like... Why does Kitty always have to be so vulgar and such a monster in every movie where she's like, I'm going to hook up with all the groomsmen and blah, blah, blah. Like,
I don't know.
But I guess she's like that in Arrested Development, too.
Yeah, she's...
Spring Break, woo!
She takes her top off. Yeah, she's very aggressively, like, kind of over-sexualized always,
yeah.
I guess, is a way, because it goes against what she kind of looks like, I think.
Yeah.
She doesn't really look like a real sexed up kind of woman, really. I don't know how to judge that, but she doesn't come across like that.
Yeah.
And her character's like, yeah, I'm going to get every groomsman in here and have them tag team me. And you're like,
ew.
Whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, ew. And then I wanted to talk about one of these weird, like, traditions that girls do. You know, we always go to the bathroom together. Like, I was just really grossed out by the going, like, she's, like, holding up her friend's dress as she's drunk and peeing.
I didn't appreciate the audible pee in the toilet, too, while they're talking. It's like, yeah, I think my grandmother had a good time, and you just hear the ping, and you're like, well, that's not really comfortable. I don't care for that.
Yeah.
It's weird. At least when guys are in the urinals peeing and they show it in a movie, they're not looking. They're pretending like it's not even happening. They're just totally detached. Here, she's holding her dress up.
Yeah.
Probably feeling the warmth coming out of the bowl, and it doesn't
matter. Well, I mean, granted, she does look very uncomfortable when she's like, yeah, hurry up. But I mean, like...
The person peeing's not uncomfortable. That's what freaks me out.
Yeah, so the thing that's really funny is that she's that close of friends with 27 people that she would, like, go and facilitate their peeing.
That's
disturbing.
I don't have 27 people who I speak to every month.
It's true.
I don't understand.
I think that the cab driver had the best part in the movie. So she's off to one of the weddings and he's like, hey, you have the wrong shoes. And then he just starts throwing the right shoes at her and he's just whipping them at her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great.
Like, he gives a shit about the shoes.
Yeah.
That's one of those where I'm like,
well, he just wanted the $260.
No, he was getting it either way. He didn't have to give a shit about her shoes.
That's true.
Oh, that made me angry. That was contrived. Like, hey, the cab driver's going to hey, we'll write that in. That'll be funny. That was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Stop. The cab driver wouldn't give a shit. In reality, the cab driver would be a Pakistani man who would tell her, put clothes on in car or else I drop you off. And that would be it.
Yeah.
He would dump her off if she was getting naked in the back of the car. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and I'm getting really perturbed about that all of her friends are assholes. So it's not even like they're taking advantage of her niceness. Because what you were saying, it's like, you know, she's overworking herself. Why couldn't she just say, you know, I already got a wedding that night. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to...
I guess
to show that she's spreading herself.
Don't you understand, though? Every woman in every part, in every one of these movies, is a horrible person.
That's how it works.
They're all terrible, terrible people.
The
men are terrible people, too. They're all terrible. It's a bunch of terrible people that we're supposed to feel and hope... We're supposed to want them to end up together. I don't know why.
Yeah, love always wins.
I don't know why.
While Heigl's going back and forth in between weddings, we meet our leading guy. We meet James Marsden.
You put that in quotes. You can't say leading man James Marsden and have it not in quotes.
Well,
leading
no,
man is in quotes James Marsden.
Because James Marsden is always the afterthought guy. He's the guy, okay, so like it's you know, the leading lady's always in love with like a badass guy who's just misunderstood, like a Ryan Goose baby or like... you know, whatever. And then they're just like, well, you know, he has a pulse and he's good enough. But then they always break off their engagement with Marsden to go back with Goose Baby.
But that's that. Well, yeah, this Marsden is our, quote, leading man. Loosest air quotes I can possibly have. He is not her love interest at the time, of course.
No. She's disgusted by him. By the way,
we have not introduced him yet.
No.
I can't wait.
And by the way, everyone, Ryan Goosebaby is Ryan Gosling. I just really love the fact that his last name is a goose baby.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they have that little angry back and forth thing with Marsden, yeah. Where she's like disgusted by how cynical he is. And then she leaves her planner in the car. Now, what I think is funny is that Marsden immediately opens it up and is snooping through all of her shit. He even vandalizes on it.
Explain planner to people, because there might be people who are going, what the fuck is a planner? I have a phone. Explain planner to people
planner
under about 22.
An actual, it's like a notebook. It's a leather-bound notebook where it has days, like so from January 1 to December 31.
It's a physical calendar.
It's a physical calendar. It's a piece of paper.
In.
You write on it. And you can account for your time. At 7 o'clock p.m., I will be here, or I have to do this doctor's appointment on this day.
There's nowhere to put a USB cable
into
it.
There's no USB.
Really difficult.
You can't set up reminders. Siri or Alexa will not tell you what is on your schedule.
She has a well-worn planner with Post-it notes sticking out of it and stuff.
Pictures from wedding magazines and whatever. But I just thought it was funny that he's happy to go through her planner, but yet McConaughey, you know, won't even go through a fucking purse. Like, the planner has much more personal information and personal things in there than the purse.
We want to know the personal information. We just don't want to find creams that handle weird maladies you may have south of the border. That's what we don't want to deal with. And the planner, that's not going to happen. The purse, anything could be in there. Anything.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
We have no idea, you could have a dildo in there for all we know. That's the problem.
I would hope that no one's carrying that around.
Hey, you never know. It's a modern world.
Well, I do know that if you have a dildo, not that I do, but in your purse, that's probably a better intimidation thing if somebody jumps you. You can just pull out your dildo and just shake it at them. Because what would your assailant do?
It would at least
Why
give
do you
a,
have that?
A second of confusion. There'd be a moment of confusion where they'd be like, huh? And then you can run.
You could get like your pepper spray
or
gun
where they'd be
like
what the fuck? They'd take a step back.
So
like,
are we saying, okay, yeah, ladies, let's start carrying dildos in our purse now.
I like how she concusses herself at the wedding, by the way.
Oh,
she
concussed herself.
She loses consciousness from a blow to the head. And knowing what we know about head injuries nowadays, this is not a minor thing. Marsden comes in, not a doctor at all.
But he's like diagnosing her.
She's fine. Little bump on the head, gets her up and moves her around. She could have a horrible head injury. You never know. She should probably be checked out.
Oh my God, that would explain a lot about the movie then, if she has a head injury.
Again, a woman with a head injury, something wrong with her. There's a poor woman who needs medical attention and everyone around her ignoring it and treating her as if she's perfectly fine. This is not right to these women. I feel bad for them.
So we start to hang out with Marsden a little bit, and we see that he works with Jonathan from 30 Rock.
What's his cardboard cutout job? Cool job. Come on. What's Marsden's job?
He's a cool guy.
What's he do?
He's a writer. Well, no, he has a cool guy thing. He's a writer at the New York Journal, which is probably the New York Times, and he writes for the wedding section.
What do you do? I'm a writer.
We also find funny because Heigl is this obsessed with weddings that she is excited and looks forward to the wedding section of the newspaper. Like, it's like, okay, we get it. She likes weddings.
Man, that section comes with a cat. Just comes with a cat. There's a cat with that section under its arm when you buy it. You go, here you go.
Yeah.
And a robe.
So we meet Jonathan from 30 Rock, and he's like all jealous of Marsden. He's like, oh, how are you not plowing everybody at these weddings? But what's so funny is that since Jonathan from 30 Rock, Malik Pancholi, is so obsessed with Jack Donaghy in 30 Rock that I just can't see him as having any sexual prowess.
No.
So he's like, oh, how come you're not plowing all these people? And here I am thinking, in my head, I'm having him sing, you and I, to Alec Baldwin.
Well, for that matter, Marsden is Liz Lemon's boyfriend from 30. If you haven't watched 30 Rock, these jokes are going to completely go by you. Watch 30 Rock anyway, but still, it's the half the cast is from 30 Rock, and it's very irritating.
Yeah.
Because you want them to be, you know, funny like they are in that show rather than terrible and irritating like they are in this show.
Yeah. What I thought was really fun also was that we meet the love interest finally. We meet George.
Oh, God. George, yeah.
Here's the funny thing is that I've watched this movie several times, but I don't actually know what George does.
No, he
Did
owns...
Did you pick up on that?
From what I understand, he's George. First of all, let's get... George is like... Is he a Baldwin?
No.
Is he like a low-level Baldwin?
He does seem very low-rent Baldwin.
He's like a cousin. Like a cousin, a Baldwin cousin. Not like a first cousin, not like his mom's sister's son. Like a second Baldwin cousin.
Yeah.
He's like Cousin Eddie.
Yeah.
Cousin Eddie Baldwin.
I can totally see that.
He's Cousin Eddie Baldwin for the rest
that
of this thing.
He's got that raspy voice where he's like, I went hiking and...
I want him to have a lozenge so bad. But he runs an environmentally... talking about how this company helps the environment. That's all we know.
Okay.
Cardboard cutout job. Environmentally safe company
and
owner.
And he's got a dog.
Writer and executive for McConaughey. These are the three cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, it's very true.
It's terrible.
But what I thought was fun, I thank you for clearing that up because I just could not figure
that out. And he apparently pays his assistants a fortune. They get to live in huge apartments, drive taxis all over, paying drivers $300.
Yeah.
They're living in a pre-Uber environment, people.
Yeah.
This is not anything, you know, this is expensive to be driving around.
And what's funny, too, is that you mentioned that, the cardboard cutout thing, because he's like Mr. Environmentally Friendly. Oh, and when Kitty slaps her.
Oh, I love
Heigl,
that. Oh,
Kitty,
it's my favorite
Kitty
thing.
Kitty totally Heigled Heigl.
Oh, she Heigled the Heigl. Did we mention how Kitty's a complete whore in this movie?
Yeah, we talked about it. She's a monster.
She's very skanky.
Because she shows up to work and she's wearing like somebody from the wedding's outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's wearing like, and then Heigl's like, you know, oh, no shame for Kitty. She's like, yeah, I banged some dude.
When Kitty slaps her, I was like, I said, maybe this movie isn't so bad.
Yeah,
maybe
I thought it was going to be great. It had potential.
If this Kitty came in and just popped Heigl right in the grill once a scene, or Marsden or any of them, honestly, Cousin Eddie Baldwin, I don't care.
Yeah, if she could Heigl everybody, that'd be great. But what this scene does is it shows you the patheticness of Heigl and how in love with her boss she is, that she gives him a burrito. And he's like, oh, did you put that burrito on my desk? She's like, I thought you might be hungry.
He said... Did you put that burrito on my desk?
Clear your throat.
Did you put that burrito? That's really thoughtful of you. Okay.
And he's like, that's why I love you.
Yeah, that's why I love you. He talks like Macho Man Randy Savage with a sore throat. That's what it would be
oh
like.
Oh, my God. He totally does.
You. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I got to run an environmentally sound operation here.
Yeah, and then she gets these flowers on her desk.
Mm.
And it has no name on it, and so she automatically assumes it's from him. And he's like, oh, did you get that thing on my desk? Is that okay? And it's like, you assume it's the flowers.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
But no.
So, but it is not. So then we...
It's Heigl, more work.
Yeah. Heigl is such a nice person, and, you know, Kitty also tells her that, because Kitty, you know, Heigl has to go pick up her sister from the airport. And she's like, you know, they have these things called cabs and, you know, Lincoln Town Cars that can pick up your sister. And then she's like, no, she's my baby sister. Like, I have to go pick her up. And then,
awful.
So she goes there, and the sister walks out, and she somehow got some poor mook on the plane to carry her luggage for her.
And she looks back at him like he's just, like he's a luggage guy.
Like, yeah, and he's like winking,
okay.
Like, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, I don't
why
understand
Why did Heigl
that
tell her what parking spot she was in?
I have no idea. I don't get why Heigl does anything in any of these movies, especially this one. Her motives are beyond my comprehension here. I really don't know.
They go to Heigl's work party. So Heigl's got like a company party that she's got to go to.
The sister
shows up. What fucking color dress was that? It looked like jaundice with sequins.
Oh, she looked... I have a note on that, actually.
And how short was that?
I have a note. It looks like sparkly lingerie, I wrote.
Yeah,
it looks terrible. Like one of those little thing, like a lingerie that someone who wouldn't be very comfortable would wear, and then it's sparkly for some reason. She wore that out in public. I don't know why.
It looked heavy, and it looked like she had jaundice, and I was not into it.
I don't get the whole thing. Why is Marsden so into Heigl?
Fascinated by how organized and neurotic she is.
I get it, and I guess the wedding thing makes sort of sense.
He wants a smart girl, and she's so misunderstood, she's always going after the wrong guy.
Yeah, maybe it's more for the story than anything else in the beginning, I guess.
So we have the meet cute in between the sister and low rent Baldwin, Eddie Baldwin.
Have we discussed one moment before?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No.
What a bitch the sister is.
Oh, no. We're getting into that.
But right when she walks into Heigl's apartment before they go to the work party, this place is so tiny and cute and blah, blah, blah. It's like, bitch, this is New York City. This place is like fucking 1,300 square feet.
Yeah.
This place costs more than half of Pittsburgh. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, she should have put her in a headlock, dropped her to the fucking ground right there. I would have loved that. Heigl, that bitch good. Get her. I would have liked that a lot.
If everybody had Heigl in this movie, I would have...
I wanted Heigl to take the sister down at that point. I don't know why I want these women to fight constantly right now.
Maddening, because they're not real people.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, they're not... Yeah, they're...
But, so, the sister is this much of an asshole, because we have the meet cute between the blondie, because the sister is blonde, and I'm just going to call her Blondie from here on out.
Go ahead.
Blondie and Low Rent Baldwin, all right? And Low Rent Baldwin is like bragging about how much he takes advantage of Heigl. Like, he's bragging.
He is.
Because he's like, well, you know, I even gave her my dry cleaning receipts today. And it's like, fuck you, dude.
You ever seen Roots?
No.
It's kind of like Roots when the slave owners are bragging about how much productivity they get out of the slaves. Like, that's what it sounded like. It's not good,
I mean, like...
Not nice.
No, it's not nice, because he's like bragging about like what an asshole he is to her, and he's like, yeah, like, but you know, I'm just so cavalier about it. I'm a cool guy.
By the way, in Roots, it was really odd to see Mr. Brady be a slave owner. I don't know why, but I never pictured him to be.
Oh, that would be really unsavory.
It was odd. He was a slave owner. It was very creepy and weird, and I wasn't okay with that as a child. I was like, is that Mr. Brady? I'm not. This is no good. That's the most... Sadly,
a man named Brady.
As a child, not knowing much, that was the most disturbing thing about the movie. Was like, well, he shouldn't be doing that on everybody. Jesus.
No. But one thing that I started, you know, thinking about during this scene in particular, is this movie a comedy?
I hope not.
Because
I doubt it.
Heigl plays it so serious, like she takes it so seriously, but yet she tries to have a sense of humor, and she goes out because she's pissed off because now the two are hitting it off.
Yeah.
And she's screaming, motherfucker!
And
she's dressed like a gladiator in that scene, by the way. And the whole time I'm like, is this supposed to be funny? Because it's trying to be really funny.
I feel like all Heigl does, she plays everything really seriously, which most of the time in comedy, when an actor plays it straight like that, it's really good. You let the situation dictate the comedy and you play like a real person. But in a situation like this where everything else is so ridiculous, it's just... It's silly. It doesn't work at all like that. And then she basically plays it dead serious and then has moments of like slapstick
stupidity. Yeah, because she does that sarcastic comment about how she's like, oh, I'm sure you don't want to go to my really cool work party?
Yeah, she falls down several times in the movie, just straight falls down and does like weird physical gags where you're like, it's an odd balance really of a performance. It's not her fault even.
She's like Daniel Day-Lewis trying to be the Three Stooges.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, that's perfect.
Because he's a method actor. And then,
No, it's really odd, and I'm not sure that I'm not ready to blame her for this completely.
No, I'm
really not.
Well, I'm always ready to blame her for something, but not this in particular.
A lot of blame to go around here for this one. It really is.
What I think is funny is that the boss keeps wanting to Low Rent Baldwin keeps trying to include Heigl. Yeah.
Cousin Eddie
Baldwin. He keeps trying to include Heigl in on this weird like date thing that he's like, you know, he's like, you want to come dancing with us?
Really?
And then Blondie's an asshole because she looks at him and she looks at Heigl and she's shaking her head and she's like, no.
Yeah.
And then they go off and go dancing and she's like, thanks, I love you. And it's like, fuck you. You just got here. I picked your ass up from the airport. We were parked in P9, you stupid twat.
Yeah,
you're going to hang out with me, you dumb bitch.
Put on your sparkly nightie and now you're out of the
Go looking out like you got jaundice and go hanging out with Low Rent Baldwin. Oh, that was that's an angry thing that I just did there.
Yeah, you know what? Let it ride. This movie... This movie will bring it out of anybody.
It really does.
You can get the calmest, nicest Buddhist person in the world, and you show them this movie, and they'll be like, you know what? Fuck this movie. Fuck her.
I got Heigl right in the fucking face, and everybody needs to pay for it.
Is he a Baldwin? He's not a Baldwin, is he? No, it's terrible.
But what's funny is that Heigl wakes up because she's waiting up for her sister to come home, and Heigl wakes up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and she starts cleaning. That conversation that she's had while she's cleaning, while she's like, "Oh, did you have a nice time with George? That's weird. You talked about me the whole time." I've had one of those before. Yeah.
Wow.
I think every girl has had one of those.
This
movie did hit me right in the feels because a lot of, Heigl being ignored and, not paid attention to by the men that she is pining after.
Mm-hmm.
I really resonate with that because that was me all throughout high school. Like all the guys that I had a crush on were all really super into my friend. And I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's cool. No, it's fine. Oh, you want her phone number? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh.
How many of their weddings did you plan?
Zero.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
well,
zero.
You're ahead of Heigl then on this.
Yeah, I win. But what I love is that when Heigl's trying to, and this is one of her comedy moments, she's telling her sister about how wonderful Eddie Baldwin is, right? And she's like, he's so great. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, no, he's got some flaws because he hates cashews. What?
Yeah, that was just stupid.
That's as creative as you fucking get, Heigl? Like, that's it?
I feel like that was it was the end of the night, and they needed to finish the scene. There was like a rewrite, and they were like, you know, it's just fuck. Who gives a fuck? You know what? Who cares anymore?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
that's what's wrong with him. He doesn't like cashews. Whatever. Fine. She tried, and then they move on.
Yeah.
Everybody had to go home.
So the sister wants to make sure it's okay with Heigl that she's going out with Baldwin here, and so she's like, okay, good, because we're going to lunch tomorrow, and so we have this fun meet, which I know you loved, where they went to the his little brother's baseball game.
Oh, Pedro.
Because not only is he a great guy who's environmentally friendly, he also has adopted a little brother from the big brother, little brother thing.
Not only a little brother, a little minority brother. That's how great. See him? Pedro, just so you know, he's not like Italian or anything.
Yeah, no, he's
Pedro. He's a real honest-to-goodness Puerto Rican or some shit. I don't fucking know. But look how good of a guy I am. I'm going to take the little Puerto Rican to play baseball. That's how white this movie is also. They were
name him
Pedro
guy.
And then everyone will like him because he's helping a minority. It was just the silliest, dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Nice of him to help Pedro, don't get me wrong.
What I think is awesome is that, so, you know, they're going on, and the sister is such a bitch that she is like, she finds out that he's a vegetarian and she's like, oh yeah, I'm a vegetarian. I love hiking. I love animals. Like, she's basically manipulating him into, you know, falling in love with her.
We find out she's a publicist, so she's born and made of lies anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Tell us how you really feel about publicists.
She's complete.
Wow.
Just a complete waste of space. A publicist is like a guy. Like, if somebody wanted to buy drugs and they were like, hey, do you know where I can find drugs? And the guy was like, yeah, I'll get it for you, but I want, you know, a chunk of it too. That's a publicist.
Yeah, of course.
A completely useless person who clogs the way of commerce and everything else in the world just to stick their own bullshit in and make 10% off of it, you fucking worthless asshole bloodsuckers. Okay.
But what I think
Pedro.
What I think is funny is that, so the boss, Low Rent Baldwin, wants Heigl to go to the game. And so they're all three talking, and Heigl's trying to, like, out her sister for not being that way.
Yeah, like, gently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But whatever, and then it turns into that they're going back and forth with each other, like, that's not really how you are, because, you know.
I love when they're at the baseball game, Pedro's baseball game there. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's the hot dog thing.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, Heigl's like, yeah, you want a chili dog, don't you? And she's like, no, only if it's tofu with meatless chili. You know, trying to play the vegan. I love they're sitting there, and at one point he says, they're watching the kids, and Pedro's looking back, like, waving in the field, and the three of them are sitting there. And Low Rent Baldwin turns to the girls, and he says, I'm going to go shag some flies with Pedro. And I so want the name of the movie to be Shagging Flies with Pedro. That should be the name of this fucking movie, not 27 Dresses.
If it's not
Dresses.
The name of this movie, then we need to commission that movie. We need to get someone to make Shagging Flies with Pedro.
It sounds like a mid-90s independent
film.
That
is amazing, and I want a movie called that.
It sounds like a mid-90s independent film that, like, follows around a 12-year-old boy as he, you know, whatever, has a struggle with some bullshit. Who cares? Oh, man. What about the dad? Have we talked about Hardcore
Dad?
No,
so the dad. So Heigl brings the sister to go see the dad.
Oh, I love
Then the dad works at a hardware store, and he's, like, bragging about...
Well, he owns
the hardware store and probably lives atop the
Could we discuss the hardware store?
But he closed it down to make them pancakes.
It was still light outside.
Yeah.
When he closed down, number one.
Those were business hours.
Those were... And this place... What year is it that he's...
It seemed like 1973.
This hardware store is tiny. It's not like an Ace Hardware that you go into nowadays,
no.
Or like a Home Depot.
It's a mom and pop shop, but it's only pop.
There's no room for hardware. They don't have room for the stock it would take to sell to make a living in this place.
No, did you see he had one outlet cover.
That's it.
Like, on,
there you go.
On the, like, the, on
we
the...
have outlet cover.
Did you see it, though?
Yeah.
It was on the pillar.
And then when he took a woman outside later because the girls were talking about something, he said, well, let me show you the new weed whackers. And they're outside. He doesn't even have room to put them inside. He's got them out on the sidewalk. I just lay them out there, and who knows? Because it was like a drive-up place.
It was like I don't even know what it was, but I never thought of an outlet cover as that one outlet cover, the one lone outlet cover.
The beige color.
It wasn't beige, it was wood.
Oh, that's
rough. It was fake wood, and it was fucking terrible. It was. It seemed like 1973.
Does the father have Alzheimer's?
I feel like he does.
I feel like he had Alzheimer's, and he's got it, and the town is just really sweet, and they're nice, and like, just keep going in there and just buy like an outlet cover every once in a while, and he'll think everything's fine.
Yeah, he'll think everything's great.
Yeah, don't let him know that he's completely failed.
But what I love is that the montage, like, of, you know, them doing stuff, the sister is a total asshole.
Awful.
Why did they go? Did you see when the sister and Blondie and Low Rent Baldwin were at the goth wedding and she, like, looked at them?
Excuse me, Cousin Eddie Baldwin, we're calling
him. Yeah, okay, Cousin Eddie, sorry. Cousin Eddie Baldwin and the blonde girl were at the wedding, at the goth wedding. Were they like, oh let's go watch Plain Jane do all of her favorite hobbies?
Yeah, was that a mutual friend?
I didn't know why they were there.
Why were they there? Wedding invitations are hard to come by. Cost money per head. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Very weird.
I didn't understand why that was a thing.
I don't understand. Why does every wedding have a theme, too? What is that?
Women like to have a theme.
But these are like extreme themes.
Our centerpieces are going to... The theme defines them.
It's not like, hey, we're going to make our centerpieces a little tropical or something like that. This is a goth wedding, everyone dressed... Or is a cowboy,
I really think that a lot of women, when they're planning their weddings, they're like, well, what defines us as a couple? You know, like, I like... I don't know.
But they're all crazy. Like, how is she friends with a goth, a cowboy, a traditional Dutch, a Hindu, and an Eskimo? All equally.
Yeah.
Like, she just knows everyone.
And a whore, because the L.A. wedding where
Yeah, with the short skirt. She doesn't work at the United Nations. Does she know all these people from?
It's driving me nuts. She knows people from all walks of life. But what I love is that... Cousin Eddie Baldwin wants to propose to Blondie.
Ugh.
And so he leaves his wallet at work, right? And Heigl sees it, and she sees where he's going, and she goes there, and the banner drops down, and it says, "Will you marry me?" And then the music starts, and he's like, "Oh, bup, 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 bup. She's not the one. She's not the one." He made it a point to say the sentence, "She's not the one." It's like, how much more fucking obvious can it get?
That was really weird too. Like,
it was weird.
I get why they were saying it, but it's not a natural thing that someone would say.
She's not the one.
You go, oh no, false alarm, guys, false alarm.
Whoa,
wrong girl. That's what you'd say, wrong person, or you know, hey, sorry, no, no, It's her sister.
This one's more devastating. This one's more devastating.
This sounds worse to her. This sounds worse to her.
Never in a million years, guys. Never in a million years.
Too tall, weird forehead, wall-eyed. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, boobs in the middle of her chest.
I don't know what's going on here.
What I love is that the banner asks the question, "Will you marry me?" But he still has to do this whole self-indulgent, sad story about his parents when he's asking Blondie to marry him. He's like, you know, my parents did this, and they were married for 40 years, and
Jesus.
I was wondering. But what's so funny is that they get married in such a short, like, they're getting married in such a short amount of time. Like, you know, they're not engaged for very long.
Yeah, that was quick.
I feel like it's a green card thing, because she was in Europe for so long.
Oh, maybe. I feel like
she mooches off of her sister's couch,
yeah,
and then she's just like, "Oh, awesome! You wanna get married?"
Yeah, really. I feel like she's a horrible person. She really is. She really is a bad person here.
She is a terrible person because. But what I love is that we don't actually see how terrible of a person that she is until the end. Because I would have liked to have seen. Because you would have felt more of that. You know, of that visceral hate. If we had seen her, like, how she... We did, because she did hire Pedro.
How long, though, were they together? Because they don't say, they just have a montage.
It seemed like about, like, 3 months.
It's just a montage. I don't know how long it was. That's what they do. They start out at the baseball game, shagging flies with Pedro.
Yep.
There's a montage. At the end of the montage, he's proposing to her. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's a whirlwind, or that montage is like a year passing, which is
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like they would have put like a thing saying.
I feel
like
they would have showed seasons changing.
Yeah.
Like they would have showed him like at the Rockefeller, you know, lighting of the tree at Rockefeller Center.
But, because the beginning, you know, she asks like, "Hey, how long are you going to be here?" And she's like, "Oh, only a couple weeks."
Yeah.
And then now she's like staying there indefinitely. So that's why I feel like it's a short amount of time.
That's possible.
But you know, so they're gonna get married in 3 weeks because she ends up finding that the venue that her parents got married at was available. And what I thought was really weird was that she's like, well, it was either I could get married in 2 years or they had a cancellation because the bride had sex with the blah, 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 blah.
They really knew a lot about that.
I do not want to plan my wedding at this venue anymore because I would be horrified that they were spreading everybody else's business.
Everybody's personal information everywhere?
Yeah. You could just be like, hey, we had a cancellation. Not like, oh boy, the bride really hoarded up.
Can I be 100% honest
sure.
about this? I cannot remember any part of the movie that you're talking about right now.
With when they're at the thing?
I remember it happening visually.
Like a haze?
My brain, I was in another planet. I was on another plane above this, not paying attention to a fucking word of this when this part was actually happening.
Yeah.
So I apologize to everybody, but it's one of those things when like an infant, when there's too much stimulation and they just pass out, they go to sleep. That's kind of what I did in my brain.
Too. Like
I couldn't take it anymore.
But what I love is that so Heigl is now talking to Kitty about, you know, what a bitch her sister is. And of course, you know, Kitty's always got her back. What I think is funny in all these romantic comedies, there's always a loud argument in a place where it's inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
So that the funny girl, like, you know, Kitty, can make a line like, oh, they didn't say there's no talking.
Yeah.
And then they go and they get the wedding cake for Blondie and Eddie Baldwin.
Well, she's muscling people, too.
And she's, yeah.
Is she a pushover or is she, like, muscling? She muscles a cab driver. She muscles the baker.
She doesn't want them to get married. Why doesn't she just say, oh, I don't know what happened. He won't. She could use all of her connections to fuck over her sister.
She has a head injury. Do you understand? She injured herself.
She should have said, like, oh, looks like, you know, he won't do it. I'm sorry. We're going to have to get you some piece of shit cake.
There could be an aneurysm in there. We should get her medical attention ASAP.
And then she should have, because then she would have been really pissed off if she found out, like, oh, you got the venue that you wanted in, you know, within 3 weeks. Like, it would have been fucking on. If it was me, I'd be like, bye.
Yeah, but you know, this movie was written by people with, I think, worse problems than the characters. I really do.
We meet Marsden at the cake shop again.
Lucky
because
us.
Blondie hires him to write a story about their wedding because she has no mind of her own. And she's like, oh, my sister absolutely loves you and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, like, she's basically getting everything that Heigl wants.
I feel like also, too, and I don't know if this is an underlying thing, does the sister know deep down that Heigl's into the dude she's marrying and she's kind of rubbing her face in it a little bit?
I genuinely don't think that she knows. I don't think that she knows.
I think that she just seems like a braggart.
She seems like a braggart. Check out all the cool stuff that I have.
I think it's even better considering that the sister wants what she has. I don't think that she knows. Maybe not, but I think she senses it because I think she's
maybe
a horrible person.
Well, she's probably a predator. But what I think is funny is that so Heigl sees Marsden and she's like, "Oh, I thought you said your name was Kevin because his name is Malcolm Doyle. That's his that's his pen name for the newspaper." But so she's like, "I feel lied to. Why?
Yeah,
why do you feel lied to? What the fuck do you care?" And then also, she says, it feels like I just learned that one of my favorite love songs is about a sandwich. Why can't love songs be about sandwiches? There's nothing wrong with that. Fuck you, Heigl. I think there should be more fucking love songs about sandwiches.
I think I was still kind of in a haze for that one. I remember the sandwich line, but it was really...
So then he was doing a piece about the wedding, about, you know, Blondie's and Cousin Eddie's wedding. And then he goes to go and interview Heigl at her apartment.
Oh, this is the montage.
Yeah,
here.
So this is when we see all 27 of her dresses.
The montage of dresses and the trying on of said dresses.
Which, by the way, he would have been in that apartment for like at least 6 hours because a lot of those fucking things were hard to put on.
Yeah.
That's six hours of Heigl.
She tried on all of them and also put on like a fashion show. Like she went out and paraded around. He was taking
pictures
with different angles. Yeah, they had to set up lighting.
That was like a whole day.
That was a lot. He was in there. It was a few hours of him sitting there. Like, I don't know what he's... I hope he's getting paid hourly. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I would up my rate,
wow.
I think.
Yeah.
And then I think it's funny that little fucking stupid cheeky cock talk where she's like, I'm a really good cocker.
Oh, God. Oh,
or whatever.
No, not the puns. Yeah. That was bad. But also, too, I have a question about this. The sister ends up... Blondie ends up with their dead mother's wedding dress?
Yeah, so the father, I think it really picks up on the Alzheimer's. The father gives Blondie the wedding dress.
But do women want their mother's wedding dress?
I think that women mostly do.
Really?
I think that they do because I think it's like a generational thing and it has sentimental value.
Okay.
My parents got married in 1985. I don't remember. I don't know if anybody knows like exactly what 80s fashion was, but I mean, dresses, it was a lot of lace and I, you know, not into that.
No.
I don't think.
Okay.
My mother looked very beautiful in it. I personally would not wear it. Not my style.
The styles change. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Is that a thing? Well, then we see later on she destroys her mother's dress.
By the way, my mother is very beautiful and she does look very good in that dress.
And she listens to the show.
Hi, Mom.
Exactly. So, and you're right, but she also listens to the show. I wasn't trying to say, you know.
I think is funny is that, so Heigl's like, that like pushes her over the edge that Blondie gets the wedding dress.
So
you just get everything.
And when the sister cuts it up and makes a new dress out of it, that's when it's like, oh, that's when Heigl goes on the warpath, man.
Yeah.
Heigl, like Rambo, puts on the face paint and puts a bandana
on. He drew first blood.
Yeah, he takes to the forest, man.
Blondie drew first blood. What I think is funny is that, so Marsden, you know, finds Heigl doing the wedding registry, and I don't understand. First of all, I'd like to pose something to you. Is it vase or vase? Because I say vase.
It's vase. Okay. Unless you're a pretentious
asshole.
We're
ruling it right now. It's fucking vase. Heigl says vase. So we know how we stand with Heigl just based on that.
Pretentious asshole.
But what I think is hilarious is that she predicts, she's like, you know, who broke your heart? You're like, you know, whatever, right? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And then to make him feel better, she's like, do you want to find all the ugly things and put it on Tess's registry? And he's like, okay. And
that seems like fun.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, okay. And he's like, yeah, all right. But I was like, okay, that's the first time that we see like a fun side from Heigl. But what I would pose to the audience is, please, if you have a friend that's getting married and they sent you their registry, or if they're having a baby and they sent you their registry, please send us the thing because we want to add items to their registry.
Yeah, we want to add terrible
things. Sounds fun, and I want to add horrible, non-practical things so that they're like,
why'd I get this?
Yeah,
that'd be good. Or why just...
Yeah. How disgusting did you think that Cousin Eddie Baldwin was? Because he was oddly flirting with Heigl the whole time as well.
He called her sexy at one point, which I thought was an odd thing
to
do.
And he's like, any guy would be lucky to have you.
You don't call your fiancé's sister sexy.
No, that's not but he said, because he was asking her favorite part of weddings, and we find out that she likes when the bride enters the room, and then she looks at the groom, because he looks like he's, you know, so his eyes are sparkling or whatever whatever. And he's like, so you're telling me, during your wedding, when you make your big entrance, you mean that I have to look at the groom? It's like, ew, you're fucking disgusting. You're going to be that groom looking at your fucking bride, and hopefully your eyes are sparkling.
Yeah.
You raspy voice douchebag.
I agree. No, totally. It's at this point, too, that we find out that the sister's exploiting Pedro and making
because he's cleaning George's apartment. Yeah.
And she's like, well, don't tell. Yeah, Blondie's like, don't tell, you know, Cousin Eddie there. It's like, what was she thinking getting... They're obviously wealthy. She could have just hired a cleaning service. She was like, well, he's Puerto Rican. He knows how to clean. And she like, put him to work. Like, what the fuck kind of asshole is this person?
And then this is also the point where Heigl has to go do something in, what was it? Rhinebeck.
Rhinebeck,
New York.
Which is upstate a little bit. That's where the Dutchess County Fair is, as a matter of fact. Oh. I'm from south of that area.
What's funny is that, so it's raining, and hydroplane, and she hydroplanes and she doesn't hit into a tree or anything, which is like, wow, what a great case for women drivers everywhere. We can hydroplane. But they end up in like this, like, you know, kind of seedy bar, and it's so funny because I think it's meant to be that way. It's supposed to be kind of like,
it didn't feel seedy. It felt like where people would go to like have a burger. It didn't feel
it just felt like it felt like they were trying to set up pose that they're in the middle of nowhere. That's what it felt like to me.
But it didn't feel like middle of nowhere where there'd be like some guy like, yay, from around here, and then stab you or anything. Like it didn't feel dangerous at all.
Yeah.
It just felt like it was just it felt like a small town bar, not like a middle of nowhere dangerous bar.
More like that, yeah.
Yeah, it just felt like a nice small town gathering bar.
Yeah, but what I find funny about this scene is that, so they end up in the bar and they're drinking, and then they start singing Benny and the Jets, which is a great fucking song anyway.
I hope Elton John charged them double.
I hope they did,
movie.
Too.
I hope he said, you know what? I don't know, guys. Not it's going to cost you twice
Not
as
enough.
Much.
Yeah.
If we're going to have Heigl singing it.
What I think is, and I would love to ask you this, I'm not sure what is worse. No shoes dancing on the bar or Marsden with shoes dancing on the bar?
No, I don't know what bar would allow Heigl's filthy feet up on the bar, but it was grossing me right out.
She has big feet.
Yeah, well, I don't know. She's a tall girl. She's a tall woman. But
yeah.
They're gunboats. I'll say that.
So, yeah. So they're dancing and having a great time on the bar and singing Elton John. Then they get to the diner the next morning and James's best friend enters.
Here comes Mike Mosley. You know, the guy who says, there's a guy there who says, hey, you're the Benny and the Jets.
And he sings the song.
You will see him in everything, that guy. You say, that guy kind of looks familiar. That's because he's in everything.
Yeah.
He's in everything. He's been in it. He was on like 4 NBC shows in the past 2 years.
Yep, he was on 30 Rock.
A pilot in that show where they were stewardesses, the Pan Am show. He was on 30 Rock where he played Avery's North Korean.
Scott Scotsman.
He's in The Wire in the last season.
He was in The Wire.
The veteran with the hand that's blown off.
Oh, my God, yeah, that's right.
He's in everything. I did an independent film that I wrote and produced and was in, and he was the director of this film that we brought in. So this poor guy, I feel kind of bad for him. Basically, we worked 18 to 20-hour days where we fought tooth and nail for, it wasn't his fault, but yeah, it was.
Yep.
So I know this guy well, and every time I see him, I flash back to this horrible 2-week period of making this movie, and I'm like, damn you, Mike Mosley.
God damn it, Mike Mosley.
So now keep an eye out for Mike Mosley, because you'll see him
everywhere now.
All over the place.
Because ever since you told me about him, I'm always like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So this is the beginning of the mass Heigling, okay?
Oh, yeah, this is where she's going
So they're at the diner, and the waitress so oddly says, hey, you're the girl from that story, because, again, Marsden is writing a story about Heigl, that she's always a bridesmaid. He has apparently asked his boss, hey, hold off on that, because I want to tell her about it first.
Yeah, the story he wrote about her with all the dresses and the always a bridesmaid.
And to add more insult to injury, Heigl and Marsden had just banged in the Volvo.
They just had hot Volvo sex.
Yeah, so they had just banged in the Volvo.
I don't know if that's a thing, but Heigl in a Volvo, that's like...
Ew.
Marsden and Heigl, well, the two of them together, is that her fault?
Reprehensible.
Those two together in a Volvo, that's not exactly...
Yeah, so she's super upset because for some reason, everything boils down to a publicly embarrassing, on display article.
Absolutely, yeah, and it blows her up. It's like, you know, basically the New York Times has an article on her about what a fucking loser she is. And how she's got all these dresses
and how
she saves
she
them.
Is.
And she's really sad and pathetic. And now her sister's getting married.
And so Marsden gets Heigled as fuck in front of the diner. Heigles him and slaps him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? She Heigles him big time.
Does she slap him or does she just run away?
She slaps him.
I missed that part.
She's pissed at him.
Because I was looking at, are they going to either drop money on the table for the food or are they going to take the food?
I don't think that the waitress got Heigled. I think Heigl went off.
Marsden went back in. I'm sure he paid for the food.
Yeah, Marsden seems like a good guy.
They both ran off and nobody came out after him. Like, you're going to pay for all that shit I just dropped off at the table? It's two full meals.
What I love is that...
Now he's got more food and less Heigl now. I think it's a good deal for him.
Well, yeah, win-win for Marsden.
He's got two meals
and
no Heigl.
He got some.
Yeah.
He's got notoriety in this small town in New York. He's just published a successful article.
Yeah.
Everything's coming up Marsden right now.
Now it's back to the Heiglin.
Now we're back to the Heiglin. So the person that gets Heigled big time is Blondie.
Oh, Blondie.
Because Blondie is trying on her wedding dress, and we find out that she cuts it to shit and only has like a couple. Yeah, she cuts the mother's wedding dress to shit and only keeps like a couple of pieces.
Yeah.
And then she's like, here you go. You can have these ones if you want. And so my favorite line was she's like, she's like, you can't do that because I'm your... Because Heigl says, I'm going to tell George everything. I'm going
to
tell Eddie Baldwin everything.
She's like, you
wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that to your baby sister. And then Heigl says, that was yesterday. Today, you're just some bitch who broke my heart and cut up my mother's wedding dress.
Boom.
Heigled.
That's some Heigling right
there. That's some highbrow Heigled.
You got Heigled.
Yeah,
you
she got Heigled big time.
Heigled. That was good stuff. I like that. She stomps out, threatens to tell Cousin Eddie that
she's not a vegetarian. Now she's on a Heigl warpath.
Hates dogs, makes kids do housework for no compensation.
And then, so we're at the engagement party where, or I don't know
that's
what
the
it
wedding,
is.
Oh, I
rehearsal
thought.
Dinner.
It's
oh,
the
it's
rehearsal dinner.
Dinner.
Yeah,
that's
the
right.
Rehearsal dinner.
And Heigl, again, Heigl's the fuck out of
by the way,
sister.
Pedro's there. Does Pedro have any parents at all?
I don't
Does
know.
Pedro
I was wondering
mother?
That too.
He's Pedro just seems when I feel like when Cousin Eddie's done taking Pedro out to show him around and Shag flies with him,
yeah.
I feel like he just puts him away in his little locker and then leaves.
Yeah, I want to know what he does.
I don't know, man.
Because you'd think that if he's cleaning their apartment, that like the mom would be like, oh, it's nope. fine.
I
don't
feel
worry
like
about
they're
it.
Just like, that mother works 90 hours a week. She's a minority.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I
yeah.
feel like that's how this movie
so
posits itself.
We everybody settle in with your adult beverages because we're about to have an ice cold Heigling.
Oh,
all right?
Oh boy.
So the blondie gives
Hardcore.
Her sister like a script. Hey, please follow this and say this about us nice at the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
And Heigl basically outs her sister to everyone that she eats meat and she hates children
with
and
photo,
she hates dogs.
With
a photo slideshow.
A slideshow. Of her like being like hanging out with like dudes having them all.
Yeah.
Who was taking these pictures? They were all from the same angle. Like a photographer took them, you know.
Yeah.
Like somebody, like a
and
photographer
like
went around with them.
And they looked like they were being posed for like a bad magazine.
Yeah, it was really, yeah.
It was
that's
not
the other
good.
Thing too. It was weird.
So that was pretty bad because now George is like, okay, wait a minute. So I thought that you were a vegetarian, but you're eating these ribs with your wedding ring on, right?
Yeah.
And then to further this of how shitty Blondie is, Pedro gives a speech.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, and I love Tess because she's helping me start my own business. And I'm only cleaning George's apartment
yeah.
right now. But if you guys are interested,
boom.
You know what?
Outed her.
I love his entrepreneurial spirit.
Oh,
he's
I do, too.
Excited.
He said,
he's
anybody
taken
needs
to
a,
it.
Anybody needs me, I've been in the lobby. I got business cards.
Yeah,
like,
and then
ready
he's
to roll.
Like,
I like
Tess,
Pedro.
You're really cool. Yeah, he's
Pedro's
awesome.
The shit. Now, at this point, I'm like, awesome. I thought I was so happy. I'm like, sweet. Wedding's ruined. Movie over. An hour 22 into it. Boom. We're fucking done.
Nope,
credits.
We still have 30
credits
more minutes.
Roll. No, half hour left.
Yeah.
I got Heigled. I
yeah,
was the one
we
who got
big
Heigled,
time Heigled. But what I love is that like Heigl kind of looks, she looks at that, whatever, as kind of, I guess we'll say she's very regretful of it. Of doing that because she's
of.
Like,
yeah.
okay, should I have, you know, whatever.
Either way, Pedro was going to out her. With
Pedro was going to out her.
He went up, he did John Leguizamo's act, and
yeah.
that was that. He got off the stage.
And what I think is very important is knowing your temperament as a child, like from a young age, is very good for managing your meltdowns as an adult.
Good
so
point.
I think that if Heigl had only, you know, not had so much pressure to take care of her sister,
yeah.
that, you know, maybe she wouldn't have lashed out.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. But after this whole thing, you know, her Heigling the fuck out of everybody in the room.
A super Heigl.
Marsden gives her a free BlackBerry. And I have a lot of questions about this free BlackBerry.
That, oh my God.
Are there strings attached?
First of all, he doesn't.
That's the most interested I am.
No box, no charge, just a loose phone he hands her. No
Is
charger.
Is he paying the monthly bill?
What's the number? What's my carrier? Do I have data? Is this
yeah.
hooked up to an email? Or do you have access to this? Am
yeah.
I going to see all my mess? There's so many questions.
Yeah.
And she
Are
just
you...
smiles and puts it in her
well,
pocket.
Yeah, like because so he doesn't have her planner anymore. So it's like, okay, do you got like a bug on me? Where
yeah.
like,
what
you're
is going
to be following
on?
Me around? But what I thought was, so then after this, like it's actually only 24 hours later or the next day. The dad's trying to, the hardware dad is
yeah.
trying to
Alzheimer
get
dad.
His sister's, the his daughter's back together. Like he's trying to get them to make
he
up.
Yeah, he wants them
right?
to be friends.
So
in the
he has them
store.
Meet at the hardware store and they're out for blood with each other like almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
But somehow it resolves itself and she's like, you don't have to take care of me all the time.
Well, this was after she threatened to spray her with bug spray.
Exactly. She's
they were,
trying to poison her.
They were going
to
physically fight. This hardware store is not big enough for two women to have a physical, for 210-pound women to have a mm-hmm. physical fight in.
I'm telling you right now, if my sister had ruined my wedding and I walked in there and I saw her fresh from that, I'd be like, you're dead.
Oh,
like,
yeah. yeah. You would think these two would want to go at it still.
I, you're dead. I'll talk to you in a week. I'm sorry, Megan. I love you, but game over, friend. You're my
no
enemy
shit.
At that point. Cousin Eddie Baldwin.
Yeah.
Has a party that he has to go to and he calls Heigl to come, I guess, help him? I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, he needs his number two.
For some big business savvy guy, he doesn't know how to print his own fucking
no,
speech.
It's ridiculous.
Or tie his tie.
No, he doesn't know how to do anything. He's a moron, as like everyone else in this.
But
everyone
is
in this movie
tying
has brain damage.
If that's a mark of a good woman, then I am not, because I don't know how to tie a tie.
I don't expect a woman to know how to tie a tie.
All right, sorry, I'm not going to tie your tie. I don't know how to do that.
I don't expect you to. That's my tie.
But then he says, he's like, thanks for coming. He's like, you know, I can always count on you. You never say no, which I love. That is fucking predatory.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it was just the this was her. They have to do this big culmination scene of her.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. I'm not going to take
it anymore.
And
she talks about how much she in love with him she is.
Was.
And then he tries to kiss her. 24 hours after you just dumped your sister. That was weird.
The kiss was weird, and Heigl wasn't into it.
Yeah.
And that was that. And then that was, so she wasn't in love with him anymore. And
yeah.
She's going to go back to
and
her.
And she realizes she's in love with Marsden.
Her little Marsden.
Marsden's the guy for us.
Ugh. So she goes back with
so
Marsden.
So she goes and she finds out where Marsden, well, she tries to go to the work.
Yeah.
To Marsden's work and find him. Which, it's like at night, so why would he be at work?
Well, all the other ones are there.
Yeah.
His team of lackeys is there.
Yeah.
Every guy in these movies has a team of lackeys.
And they're always at work.
Yeah, they always have a team of idiot lackeys that are less attractive than them.
And so she finds him at whatever wedding that he's at that night. And the bride sees her, and she's like, oh my God, you're the girl from that article.
Like, everyone reads the paper.
But, like, everybody reads that section, and then she, like... So she's getting married that day, but then she has time to sit there and listen to Katherine Heigl's fucking tales of woe.
She wants to hear. Well, it was the reception. She'd already gotten married. So now
but at the reception, you're still going around saying hi to everyone.
Yeah, but this is more important. There's a celebrity here. And then
Heigl
goes up on the public address, goes up on the mic.
Oh, my God.
Which, second movie in a goddamn row that has to culminate with a public microphone speech. They can't just talk to each other outside.
Yeah. Why couldn't it have been Kevin Doyle? Can you please meet us over here by the whatever? And then boom, get Heigl, but
it.
Not slapped.
No, she gets up in front of a room full, in front of a boat full of. This was after her, like Michael Jordan from the foul line, leap onto a boat that she could have easily killed herself doing.
Oh my God.
That would have been the best ending to the movie if Heigl, because Heigl tries to jump like from a little boat ramp onto a large boat as it's pulling away from shore, and she does it smoothly and then falls down. That's the stupid joke. But my favorite thing would have been if she leaped off and just hit the side of the boat and slid down into the water, and that's the end of the movie.
Like,
bubbles coming
like
up.
Like in the in-betweeners when he dives off of the thing and like, oh, I think he's drowning.
Exactly. That's exactly what I would like to see. Bang,
some big romantic
down.
Gesture being
it.
Completely failed.
And then she drowns to death, and that would have I would have laughed hysterically.
That'd been the best movie.
For the first time in the movie, I would have laughed at a joke.
Yeah. Heigl is spilling her guts to Marsden now, and she's like, you know, I thought that my dream guy was, you know, a low-rent Baldwin, but it turns out that it's a cynical, grumpy, and impossible guy like you.
Yeah, publicly she says this.
Yeah, so she's saying that.
Not very romantic. And
then it does the infamous one fucking year later.
Yes. Oh,
and Heigl and Marsden's getting married.
Blah, blah,
and,
blah.
Blondie and low-rent Baldwin get back together, and
Pedro's there.
And Pedro. Ugh. Pedro's the most realistic character, though, because he's like, hey, Tess is looking pretty hot. And
yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
I'm a year older. What do you think?
Yeah, he wants to hook up with Blondie because he's horny.
Yeah, but it turns out that that all 27 of Heigl's friends all showed up to her fucking wedding, and they all wore the exact bridesmaid dress that she had to wear.
She made them wear their own dresses that they picked out for
her. How convenient that they all fit.
And they all showed up, too.
But no!
They're all 6 foot tall and skinny, like Heigl, right?
No, there's no fucking way that they could have worn the dresses because she threw them out. Remember, she had them all in garbage bags. No, she had them all
in garbage bags. But I didn't see them in a dumpster.
She was getting rid of them.
Getting rid of, but
the dumpster was implied. Because otherwise,
they were in her apartment until they crossed the threshold, being out of their apartment. They're her property. They're not refuse at that point.
All right, fine, fine.
Could have had them.
Fine.
But they would have been wrinkled beyond wearing. She would have had to take them all to the dry cleaners, which would have been ridiculous. Honestly,
yeah, fine.
Just the cost of it.
And why couldn't we see her planning her wedding?
That was another thing. Yeah. Well, we've seen her plan many weddings.
That's
They're just
true.
Like, she'll pull it off. And she said
hers
it was
so
perfect
and
who
clean.
Cares and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, and then my blood came from my eyes and I heard a high pitched squealing in my ears and I fell over. That's what happened at the end of this movie.
Well, that was 27 dresses, James.
Wow.
The lesson that I learned is stop making your wedding everyone else's problem. You want to get married? that's fine. We're all happy for you. We would love to support you and send you a gift and celebrate with you. Here's what you do. Go to Justice of the Peace. You get a marriage license for like $76, and then you have a party at your own goddamn house where you order food or you make food and you invite people and you let them show up and leave at their own fucking leisure.
No, you don't do that at all. You force people you know to wear the most horrible outfits they possibly can stuff themselves into.
Yeah, we'd all love to get married in Cabo, but not everyone can fucking afford to go to Cabo just because you want to fucking do that.
Well, let's rate it. What do you say? Let's go to the Heigl meter.
All right, so we're going to the Heigl meter. And for those of you just joining us, if you're not sure what the Heigl meter is our rating system for the movies. We will be rating them out of 5 Heigls.
Five being the most punishing.
Yeah. One 5 being, Heigls is the worst. Oh, my God. So much torture. 1 Heigl. Not that bad. I am going to give this a 4 Heigl rating.
Really? Ooh, so bad for you, huh?
Yeah, I did not. I loved it, but it was so... Yeah.
I'm going to also give it 4, and I had to stop myself from giving it 5, because it's as punishing as I can imagine a film to be, for me personally, but I thought about it, and we have movies like Love Actually still to go that are over 2 hours long.
Yeah.
So they're getting 5. That piece of shit's getting 5 right there. So it's not as bad as that, because at least it didn't linger as long as The Godfather. You know what I mean? So I'll give it that. That's fine. I'll give it 4. My main problem is that all of these movies are like 80s movies to me.
Yeah.
They're reverse 80s movies.
Yeah.
In an 80s movie, you'd have a kind of a goofy guy. Your Michael J. Fox character, and he would... You know, he would be in love with this girl who he thought was perfect, but then by the end of it, he would figure out that he really liked the kind of just normal best friend chick that he liked.
Yeah,
this is the opposite.
This is exactly 16 Candles.
It's the exact thing of all these 80s movies, except they do them with grown women instead of teenage boys. It's really silly, and this is a really high offender of it. 4 Heigls.
4 Heigls. All right, so that's our thing. Let us know what you guys rated it. You know, how many Heigls that you give it. And rate and review on iTunes, but
please.
5 stars would be nice. And 5 stars in
We'd
this case would be
Thank
5
you.
Like good that you enjoy it, not like 5, oh my God, it's the worst.
Yeah, it would help us tremendously.
It would
help
us tremendously.
Show. That's the way to do it.
You can follow us on social media. And I apologize, I spelled it wrong on the last episode and I didn't notice it until later. But it's... at You Got Heigled on Twitter and Instagram, and it's spelled YOUGOTHEIGLD. You Got Heigled. And now you guys actually know what it means.
Now you know
we would do this one early on so that you guys could understand, you know, You Got Heigled to the fullest, and you guys can use it as well. We're PS I Hate This Movie on Facebook, and you can email us at psihatethismovie@gmail.com. You want to hit him with your social media
Absolutely.
And all your stuff?
Also, too, we've got a couple of shout-outs, too. We want to say hi to a couple of people. You can reach me at Jimmy P is Funny on Twitter, James Petragallo, if you want to learn how to spell it. Good luck with that. On Facebook, come say hello to us on there. And let's give them your social media. Let's talk about a couple people who said hello to us.
Yeah. My social media is I'm Sarah Hunt on Facebook. Good luck. There's like 1,000 of them. I'm at Meh4 on Twitter. It's M-E. HHHH, that's 4 H's, and then the number 4. I don't know. I just tried to make it as difficult as possible. But and the shout-outs that we wanted to give on Twitter, we got Ash. I think her full name is probably Ashley. But hi, Ashley. Thank you so much. She said that we were really funny, and you bet
Thank
your
you.
Ass we're going to do Bridget Jones's Diary. That's on my
oh,
list.
My,
I fucking love that movie. So I can't wait. I can't wait for that one.
Gear up for that one.
And then also to... the username Teach62. She gave us a nice 5-star
Thank
review
so
on
much.
iTunes.
Really
we so appreciate that. If you guys like James, check him out on Crime and Sports. It's a show about where...
It's a true crime show. You do not have to like sports to like it.
No.
It just happens to be the athletes are the perpetrators. And
they're such
the
fucking
thing.
Idiots.
Watch a person fall from the highest heights that you can possibly watch them fall into a complete pile of garbage.
And you also have a new show.
Yes, also Small Town Murder. Take a look out for that. That'll be out in the next 2 weeks. So please watch out for Small Town Murder, which is it's not athletes. It's little weird cases of murder that take place in little small towns. If you like a Making the Murderer and wanted to see more of, hey, what's up with that corrupt little town too,
yeah,
in addition to these
that
people.
That sounds really cool.
That's what we're going to do in a lot of unknown cases and stuff like that. So it'll be a lot of fun. Please give us a shot there. Small Town Murder. Subscribe and all that good stuff.
Woo! Woo. All right.
Right on.
So we got Heigled and we
got
out.
Heigled. Whew. Have a good one, guys. See you
see
next
you
week.
See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.